What Nigeau is basically a slightly expanded big band. There's about 22 people in it. There's an open Saturday morning rehearsal most weeks of the year, and you can literally just turn up to it. It's all very relaxed, very informal, very open. And I literally just one day decided it was something I'd like to do, turned up and got involved.
The band plays the entire spectrum of big band music. Whilst we will often feature composers such as Duke Ellington, Count Basie, we will also include contemporary big band music, often specially composed for the band.
The music that Nigel's playing at the prom is huge in breadth. There's sort of very standard stuff. We're doing Smellington, we're doing Rocking in Rhythm. We're also doing music written by people in the band. We've got a chart called The Change that's been written by Chris Whiter, who's the baritone sax player. We've also got a couple of charts from recent alumni in the band, Tom Stone, who's a fab tenor sax player, and Callum Al's chart on Caravan.
It's very exciting to be playing the music of Kenny Wheeler at the prom. We are playing the fifth movement of his Sweet Time Suite. It's from an album called Music for Large and Small Ensembles, which for me holds a personal significance as one of my favourite pieces of music, as I was growing up. And it happens to be a feature for the guitarist on that album, John Abercrombie, who is also one of my favourite players, so it's very exciting to be able to step into that role.
It's been about 12 years now since Nigel last appeared at the proms. It's a fantastic venue, it's a fantastic audience, it's a fantastic atmosphere, and yeah, I think it's going to be really good for the orchestra to be back.
And you can hear Anna, Rob and the other members of the National Youth Jazz Orchestra in Friday's Late Prom, starting at 10:15 here in the Royal Albert Hall and live on BBC Radio 3. Now, Nicola Benedetti has made it. She's packed the violin away. She's leaning over into the box to talk to us. Nicola, at the Brook Scottish Fantasy with this fantastic youth orchestra as well. How was that for you?
Oh, that's always a hard question. Just after you've played, you're thinking a million things. But the atmosphere here is just absolutely brilliant. I enjoyed every minute of it. And it was great for me. I've sort of spent the week with the youth orchestra. So I didn't just meet up with them yesterday. I've been sort of working with them a lot. And it was just wonderful to share that moment with them. I really felt like we enjoyed it together, which was very, very memorable.
And you were the leader of the National Children's Orchestra,
yes,
weren't you?
Scotland,
at the age of nine, how important
I was
that
actually.
For you? Eight?
Oh, I'm being annoying.
I didn't think you were supposed to get in. You weren't supposed to be allowed in until you're nine.
Until you're nine. I know, I was too young, actually.
So that must have been a pretty important experience.
Oh, it was. It was frightening, but very, very important. I remember being really pushed to learn the repertoire for that course. It was quite taxing repertoire, and I was obviously so young. So, it made a big difference to my experiences in those early years.
And you're staying connected with music education. You're on the board of the Big Noise in Stirling, aren't you, I think? Is it the Scottish offshoot of Venezuela's El Sistema?
Yes.
And I don't think people always realise just quite how intensively the children have to work as part of that programme.
Nobody realises until you go through it yourself. I mean, well, I think anyone who started an instrument and stopped will tell you that the reason they stop is because they're not willing to put in those hours every day. And but that's really the message that we're trying to get really instated in Raplock, is that they have to put in the hours, otherwise they won't improve. And if they don't improve, then the identity and their sound isn't there, and the confidence isn't going to develop, which is what why they're doing it.
And it does, and it works really quickly as well, doesn't it? It's already making quite an impact in Scotland.
It's made a huge impact, yes.
Now, this isn't the last we'll hear from you at the proms this season. You're back with your trio for proms chamber music, Bach, Brahms and Korngold at Cadogan Hall. But you must tell us about the last night of the proms. You're playing the Brook. First violin concerto, Moorbrook, the other one.
The other one, the slightly more famous one. Roger Wright actually just told me it's been 100 years since this piece has been played at the proms. Not
really,
Brook
the Scottish Fantasy.
But the Scottish Fantasy, yes. So I'm honoured to be the first.
Did he tell you afterwards rather than before?
He did tell me that afterwards. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Roger. I'm very glad he told me afterwards. But Brook Concerto, I'm sure, is performed here every single year. I mean, it's just such a popular work. And it's an honour to be asked to play it last night, and an honour to be asked to play that piece.
And have you chosen your dress yet?
No, I'm not even nearly there. And I have about three dresses at the moment, so I'm going to be on the third by the last night.
And both of you, what about the standard of youth orchestras these days? Because, you know, we've all played in them. It just seems to be going up and up and up, doesn't it?
Well, I was just noticing how young they were looking. I was looking at some of the horn players in the corner, and they're extraordinarily young, and yet so... They have so much conviction
and
I would have been a little terrified wreck if I was doing it. And the commitment, brilliant, I think. And we were just saying, you know, that's going to last them for life, and it's a wonderful thing.
Oh, absolutely. This experience for them, I think they will remember forever. And the whole experience of the dedication they're learning throughout the week of work is, something that develops you. It makes you grow.
Is it more fun playing with a youth orchestra?
Oh.
Than with a stuffy old big boys orchestra?
I would say yes. I'm sorry to any professional orchestra out there, but yes.
Do say it.
You'll never work again.
No, exactly. I'm not, that's all my invitations cancelled. But no, they are. This orchestra, any other youth orchestra I've ever played with, there is an enthusiasm there, and I have to say that each and every one of them, they have been the loveliest group of teenagers, and committed and focused and dedicated. And I mean, like I was saying before the encore, they've had a lot of cuts to their funding, and it's an organisation that deserves to be supported hugely. It gives the children so much. Gives the, I shouldn't say children, the students so much.
Can I ask you, did you pass around your Stradivarius and let them all have a go?
I let one of them hold it when I had to put my hair up in the first rehearsal, and they were all like, not me.
I'm really disappointed you didn't bring it. I wanted to sniff the varnish of a Stradivarius. I've never touched one.
Oh, it is a beautiful instrument.
The sound is incredible.
Quite a close look at it a little earlier. It's a gorgeous,
beautiful
varnish, isn't it?
Yes, I'm very, very fortunate.
Well, look, it's lovely to have you both here. Nicola Benedetti and Dr. Christian Jessen, thanks so much for joining me. I hope we've left you with enough time to find your way back to your seat without being approached by someone auditioning for your television programme.
I've got out of it quite well by being here in the interval, because it would have happened by now, I assure you.
It's an occupational hazard for you, isn't it?
It is. They ask me things about bits. There we go. My mother's very proud.
I won't be doing that.
You're quite sure? You've got a wonderful opportunity here.
No, definitely not on the radio.
Now, we're looking forward to hearing you playing Korngold, Bach and Brahms with the trio. We must mention, you've got the Korngold Violin Concerto coming out on disc, haven't you?
I do, in September. Yes, that's in September. I recorded that violin concerto, both the Korngold arias that we'll be playing in the chamber prom, and everything else on the disc is music either written for or inspired by film. Or used in film, so it's a real sort of concept album based around Korngold, Korngold's beliefs, his story, his eclectic music, his ability to take a great piece of music in many different forms. So it's very, very exciting. Oh, I've got competition now.
Absolutely, we're just going to find out what the fundraising's reached this time. But Nicola, thanks very much indeed. For joining us
Thank
this evening.
Thank you so much.
Go back and rescue the Strad. I'm sure you've got at least three people guarding it for you from the orchestra.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Christian Jessen, thanks very much for spending some time with us as well.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you're listening to BBC Radio 3, the home of the BBC Proms. Andrew McGregor, live here at the Royal Albert Hall for this season's celebration of youth and music from all corners of the UK. We've had the Ulster Youth Orchestra, the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain, hundreds of young voices in this afternoon's choral celebration. This evening, it's the National Youth Orchestra of Scotland sitting in with their professional peers from the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and its chief conductor, Donald Runicles. Now, before the interval, we heard the youngsters on their own in Bruch's Scottish Fantasy with Nicola. And next, it's the turn of the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra to regale us with the amorous adventures of Richard Strauss's Don Juan before the orchestras join forces again for tonight's world premiere and a glimpse of one of Scotland's most famous and long-lived residents, Nessie. The Loch Ness Monster in Thea Musgrave's Postcard from Scotland. And the march of Roman soldiers along the Appian Way should make for a spectacular ending. Respighi's The Pines of Rome. Well, also conceived in Italy was Richard Strauss's first fully formed orchestral masterpiece, Don Juan, literature's Don Juan or Mozart's Don Giovanni. Strauss was just 24 years old, head over heels in love with the singer he was later to marry, when he noted down in Italy the first ideas for this new tone poem, based on Nikolaus Lenau's version of the exploits of the legendary lover. Well, after a virile introduction, Strauss shows us two love scenes from the Don's life, the second distinctly more tender than the first, before our hero encounters a fiesta. He has a close encounter with death before his idealism leads him into a duel and his life is ended with the thrust of a rapier. Strauss put a quotation from Lenard's dramatic verse at the top of the score. The fuel is all consumed and the hearth is cold and dark. Well, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra fully reassembled back on stage here with leader David Adams. An expectant hush falling over the audience in the Albert Hall. And here comes Donald Runnicles to conduct the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra in Richard Strauss's tone poem, Don Juan.
Thank you.
The Thrust of a Rapier, ending the life of Richard Strauss's Don Juan. And it was a huge success for the young Strauss when, in his mid-20s, he conducted the first performance in Weimar in 1889, impressing the critics with the colour, confidence and sheer flamboyance of his writing. And you just heard it brought colourfully to life by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Donald Runicles. And they're about to be joined by members of the National Youth Orchestra of Scotland once again for this evening's world premiere. And they brought with them Loch Ness, a postcard from Scotland. It's Scottish-born composer Thea Musgrave's Proms Commission, and she's crossed the Atlantic from her home in America to hear it for herself. I asked Thea to introduce us to what we're about to hear.
The piece starts in E-flat, and Loch Ness is very deep, so it starts with deep sounds, and Nessie, our monster, the tuba solo, is fast asleep and begins slowly to stir. Gradually, we began to see hints of the sunrise. And then about 3-4 minutes in, Nessie comes to the surface and stands up. And at that point, we hear the sun and the trumpets come in. Unfortunately, the sun begins to sink rather quickly, so Nessie is a bit annoyed. But nevertheless, after a cadenza, there's a big splash and Nessie sinks down back into E flat. And while the sun is up, we have heard a Scottish tune. And now that Nessie is back down, Nessie remembers the tune, but instead of playing it in A major, now plays it in E flat, because E flat is the bottom of the loch. The moon shines, and there's a ripple across the water, and all is well.
Thea Musgrave telling me what's in store for us in her new piece, Loch Ness, a Postcard from Scotland. And taking the part of Nessie is the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra's principal tuba player, Ben Thompson. And there's a certain amount of simple choreography written into Thea's score. The soloist is instructed to stand at the point where Nessie's head emerges from the water. So perhaps, listening at home, you might want to imagine one of those famous grainy images that may or may not be photos of the Loch Ness monster. Maybe the most recent one that emerged in the newspapers this weekend. Well, Thea was telling me earlier about how the piece actually came about, the way she didn't know quite where to start when the BBC's Proms Commission arrived, and she needed an idea, she told me. So she told her husband, Peter Mark, who's a conductor, that she wanted him to think of a title as inspiration. And she says it took him about 5 seconds to come up with Loch Ness, and she still doesn't know what suggested it to him. And we were having animated discussions backstage about Nessie's gender. Thea was telling me she's certain the monster is male, although her publisher disagrees. And here to conduct the first performance of Thea Musgrave's Loch Ness, a Postcard from Scotland, is Donald Runicles. A cool moon rises, a light breeze ruffles the surface of the waters, and all is at peace as Nessie returns to slumber in the depths, humming that newly acquired Scottish tune. You've just heard the world premiere here at the BBC Proms of Theo Musgrave's Loch Ness, a postcard from Scotland. And playing the part of the fabled monster was principal tuba player Ben Thompson, who I have to say handled the choreography very well, surfacing with a splash and disappearing below amidst those pizzicato strings. And Thea Musgrave is in the audience tonight. She's just being picked up by a spotlight on the far side of the hall from where I'm sitting, waving the dull ronicles and showing her thanks to the members of the combined forces of the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and National Youth Orchestra of Scotland after travelling all the way over from America to hear that first performance of her new piece here at the Prom. She was delighted to see the new Loch Ness monster photos that emerged in the press yesterday when I showed them to her. She's taking one of them back as a souvenir. Fantastic timing. I must have a word with the Prom's publicity team. I have no idea how they managed to arrange it. Well, as we head for the grand finale of this evening's Prom, there's much stage rearrangement to do to accommodate the massive orchestra needed for a work by one of Max Bruch's students, Otterina Respighi's Pines of Rome. So I do have a moment or two to remind you that if you've missed any of this evening's concert, or if you want to hear any of it again, it'll be available to listen to online, like all the proms, for the next 7 days. Just go to the proms website or the Radio 3 homepage. And if you want to join the Twitterati around this evening's prom, we're at BBC Proms, and you can use the hashtag BBC Proms. I bet there's an awful lot of chatter being generated by our young Scottish musicians, not just the ones on stage, but their friends and supporters as well, many of whom were queuing around the hall waiting to meet players or parents earlier today. Tremendous support from them for all of our visitor youth orchestras this weekend, actually. And it's an amazing experience for them, not just to be on stage in the Royal Albert Hall playing in a prom, but sitting alongside their professional colleagues in the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, as I found out from two of our young players earlier today, violinist Jessica and trombonist Ewan.
I was sitting when rehearsing and I thought, I don't imagine that any of my teachers would have ever thought that I'd be sitting here, you know. So it's surreal, but in a positive sort of way.
Yeah, it's just amazing because the proms is such a prestigious event. It's so big for Britain, and you watch it on TV every year and you hear it on the radio, and then you're part of it.
And playing alongside the members of the BBC Orchestra as well, what's been the best bit about that for you two?
I think, well, for me personally, I'm sitting beside Simon Johnson, who's the first trombone player. He's absolutely fantastic player, and just by watching them, you can learn so much.
I'm lucky enough to sit next to the leader, so it's fantastic. You see how sections bond, and they work so efficiently as well, which is something that youngsters really benefit from learning.
And Donald Ronicles as well, how's he been working with the youth orchestra?
What I found was really nice that he treats us exactly the same as he treats the professionals, and it's so refreshing. It sort of makes you feel better and play better.
Let's talk about the sound of the Respighi, because just sitting listening to that up in the hall there, it's a phenomenal sound. How does it feel on stage?
As a brass player, definitely. Yeah, you sometimes wonder if you're deafening people slightly, but it's phenomenal to play.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's quite overpowering, but it's just so exciting the way it builds up and up, and you sort of feel everyone smiling and sort of together as a team around you, and there's sort of no other feeling like it, really. You just don't want it to stop.
You and Jessica from the National Youth Orchestra of Scotland, looking forward to unleashing the last item on this evening's programme, Respighi's Colourful Guide to the Pines of Rome. So for this symphonic poem, Respighi takes us to four favourite places around Rome and provides his own descriptions of what we're about to hear. First, children at play in the pine groves of the Villa Borghese, dancing in circles, playing soldiers, marching and fighting. Next, we're shown the pines casting shadows near the entrance to the catacombs, and from the depths comes the sound of mournful psalm singing, Gregorian chant floating through the air and mysteriously disappearing. Respighi's third scene is a nocturne. We see the pines of the Janiculum Hill outlined in the clear light of the full moon while a nightingale sings, and as the birdsong fades into a misty dawn, there's the distant tramp of the marching feet on the Via Appia, a vision of bygone glories on the great military highway of ancient Rome as a mighty army bursts forth under the blazing morning sun. It's a fabulous moment for the brass percussion and the Royal Albert Hall's grand organ, which has been warming up ever since it was switched on during the interval. So here's conductor Donald Ronicles to whisk us to Respighi's Rome with the combined forces of the National Youth Orchestra of Scotland and the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
What a stunning sound. I hope you could feel the air move listening at home. It certainly did here in the Royal Albert Hall. The thunderous conclusion of Respighi's Hinds of Rome from the combined forces of our two orchestras at this evening's prom. The National Youth Orchestra of Scotland and their professional desk partners, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, led by David Adams, and chief conductor Donald Runicles, who was just working his way through the wind section, getting them to take a bow for their solos. The harpists on their feet, the three harpists, our Roman army, the brass, two timpanists, the whole percussion section, the horns and tuba. Just watching the faces of some of the young players, you can see what an amazing day they've had here and how much they enjoyed that last performance. Talking to them earlier, they were just thrilled by the Respighi here in the hall, the cavernous rumbling of the organ pedals earlier, and the magical sound of the nightingale as well. Respighi had to work with scratchy 78s in the first performance in 1924, and that was considered innovative, but it was a gorgeous sound here in the hall, seeming to float high up above the audience from speakers all around the top of the building. Well, so many friends and family members have made the trip to London in the musicians' wake, so there'll be some special memories of this concert as the Scottish Youth Orchestra comes to the end of its summer course and tour. And after such an early start this morning, Donald Runicles wasn't joking when he told them to get a proper night's sleep. And he also said at the rehearsal that he looked forward to working with them again and reckons he'll be meeting a few of them in professional orchestras in the not-too-distant future. I'm sure he's right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this most Scottish of proms. It's not every evening you can say you've encountered the Loch Ness Monster. Back in Broadcasting House, I've just been told there's been a sighting of Katrina Young.
Very flattering, Andrew. Thank you very much. That was Andrew McGregor. And there's another chance to hear tonight's prom on Thursday week at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on BBC Radio 3. And of course, we return to the Royal Albert Hall for our next prom tomorrow for the first ever complete proms performance of Leonard Bernstein's Mass. That starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening here on Radio 3. And don't forget that as it's Monday tomorrow, we also have Proms Chamber Music at lunchtime, live from Cadogan Hall in London, the Violin Sonata and the Cello Sonata by Debussy, and Ravel's Piano Trio. They're played by the violinist Jennifer Pike, the cellist Nicolas Alstedt, and the pianist Igor Levit. And that all starts at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Well, we heard Nicola Benedetti earlier, not only playing the Scottish Fantasy by Max Bruch, but also talking about the last night of the proms next month, when she'll be performing Bruch's first violin concerto. So I thought we'd hear a little more Bruch, this time for a chamber ensemble. I'm afraid I'm straying a bit from the weekend's spotlight on young musicians. Bruch was 70 when he wrote these pieces for clarinet, cello and piano, although he was inspired by one particular young musician, his son, who was a fine clarinetist. On this recording, they're played by Ensemble Incanto. Thank you. 3 of the 8 pieces for clarinet, cello and piano by Max Bruch, played by Ensemble Incanto. The clarinetist Ralph Mano, the cellist Guido Schieffen and the pianist Lisa Klahn.
On Radio 3 from the BBC Proms, the music of Ivor Novello, introduced by Simon Callow.
Novello to me means romance, generosity, bigness of spirit, music that comes out of a full heart, melodious and indeed rather melodically inspired, but above all innocent and tender, but very nostalgic stuff, very, very touching. Join me for a musical tribute to one of the most successful composers for British musical theatre, a celebration of Ivor Novello.
Thursday night at the BBC Proms.
From 10:15.
Well, one of the anniversaries being marked throughout this year's prom season is the 150th birthday of the English composer Frederick Delius. In fact, there's a performance of his song Cinera in the concert which precedes the Ivor Novello prom next Thursday. So just before we join Lucy Duran, I thought I'd add to the celebrations now with a prelude he wrote in the early 20s. On this recording, it's played by my Radio 3 colleague Paul Ginnery. Paul Ginnery playing the first of three preludes by Frederick Delius. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's a 10:15 and slightly later than usual, it's now time for World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Last weekend was WOMAD, the UK's biggest world music festival, and you may have heard some of our live coverage from the Siam stage, the Open Air stage and Radio 3's very own stage at Charlton Park in Wiltshire. I was joined by Andrew McGregor, Lopa Kotari and Mary Ann Kennedy, and we were all joined by some very big stars.
Welcome back to 30th anniversary WOMAD. Weather report, let's get that out of the way. Not enough rain to dampen spirits or turn the dust into mud. Sunshine and clouds, now the coolest of evenings. The music report, hot, hot, hot.
Well, I think he's kicked the door down completely tonight because Led Zeppelin Mark III has just taken off. And here they are. Rubber Plant and their sensational Space Shifters.
I'm your witch doctor, got the evil eye. I've got the power of the devil, I'm a country guy. I'm gonna give you love in the midnight hour. I'm gonna kick
like a bunch of flowers.
We also heard from musicians who are just starting their career. This is Chrissy Crowley from Canada, and this is our World Roots Academy protege, José Hernando Noguera. And we met up with old friends of the program, in this case, Paddy Bush and Justin Vallee, with the exquisite music of Madagascar. And I was lucky enough to meet some of the original cast of Cuba's greatest band.
Dejaron ese libro abierto donde nosotros seguimos estudiando y personas como ellos.
Eliade says that those musicians that have passed away left the book open, and that the memory of them, the memory of Ibrahim Ferrer, of Rubén González, of Pío Leyva, Compay Segundo, the composer of the song Chan Chan, they live on in the hearts and memories of so many people around the world.
The unmistakable sound of the Buena Vista Social Club and the unofficial national anthem of Cuba, Chan Chan. With around 9 hours of live broadcasting, though, we only brought you the tip of the WOMAD iceberg last weekend. So, this week and next on World Roots, I'll be introducing more highlights. Next week, there's music from Boubacar Traoré, the veteran singer-guitarist from Mali, Nazaket Teymurova, the Mugam singer from Azerbaijan, and Algerian superstar Khaled. And this week, we're featuring music from countries rarely represented at world music festivals, including Taiwan, Niger, Solomon Islands, and this, Aboriginal music from Australia, sung and played on guitar by Frank Yama. Yewa la chanamba palanjako mora pana palanka. Hey willora ranguru alinjara kaka ranguru hulbai ranguru ya pijama mora pana. Wadi ko
piano pika wiyako kojo pachuran kong alawajano mora pana palanga hey will all arang ro aling jara kakarara Morapana palako Wari kochong kong alawajano Pika huyako Kocho pachurang kong alawajano Morapana palanka Morapana Mm-hmm.
I had been calling from the inside for being a prisoner. It is really to risk. I only see those wolves day by day. Freedom where you want it. Ah, freedom. I wanted to be free. So many things to see. Calling from the inside. Give it to me, David.
Frank Yama, charismatic Aboriginal singer-songwriter, together with Australian musician David Bridie on keyboards, at the Radio 3 stage at last weekend's WOMAD. This is World Roots with me, Lucy Duran, bringing you highlights from the WOMAD 2012 festival. Still to come, music from Niger and Taiwan. But first, panpipe players from Malaita in the Solomon Islands. I asked their band leader, whose name is Donation, about their home.
If you, you know, come to Solomon Islands, you have to go to our capital city, situate on one different island, and that island is called Kurkanal Island. If you wish to, you know, wish to visit our village or our people, it will take you almost 10 hours on a boat. We live in remote village, and we have no tracks, no roads, no electricity, no nothing. We just live like like we are.
You're continuing to live the way that your ancestors
Yes,
did.
Of course, yeah.
What about your music? Is it also just a continuation of very, very old music?
Definitely. We just, you know, revive our culture. We just pump pipe music and preserve it.
But you also modernize, don't you, Ganesh?
Yes, yes. Life is changing.
Life is certainly changing, yes. I remember reading that the music describes nature.
We are living in the forest. Our ancient people, you know, how they compose songs, lullabies. They, you know, they were listening to the trees, a rapping of the trees.
So the branches are rubbing together and you recreate that sound.
Yes, as well as crying of birds.
Birds.
Yeah, the breaking of the waves. You know, we live all at the coastal land as well.
That's the panpipes, but then you also have this wonderful, almost like a bass bamboo, which I think you call, what do you call it? The bamboo thongophone, because you play it with flip-flops, don't you? You bang the end of...
That's the English name for that, and we call it Aurapurapu. That's the Ara language, Aurapurapu.
Aurapurapu?
Aurapurapu.
Aurapurapu,
yes. Got it.
Wonderful. Can you tell me what your name means, Narasirato? What does it mean?
Cry for sunshine.
Cry for the sunshine.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what we've been doing here in the UK because it's been pouring with rain for so long. But thankfully the sun has come out and
Definitely,
it's a beautiful, glorious day here at WOMAD. Perfect day for listening to your wonderful music, the music of Narasirato, Thank panpipe you. Music from the Solomon Islands.
Thank you.
The group Narasirato from the Solomon Islands with their unique panpipe music on stage at this year's WOMAD in Charlton Park. On the Radio 3 stage at this year's festival was a group who play one of the world's most lyrical